Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And I have a guest with me in the studio today, Dunya Wardak, who hails from Afghanistan and who is a nutritionist. And she is involved with the public health sector as well as a private consultation arrangement. So welcome, Dunya.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you so much. Kia ora. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Dunya Wardak, and I'm a registered nutritionist for Ottawa, New Zealand.
Thank you very much. And to have somebody who's involved in the health system, like Te Whatu Ora, and also who's involved in the private health system too, it gives you a platform or two to survey what is happening out there and what people's needs are, and because you're seeing people at both ends of the spectrum. Today, I'm really interested in your experience of working with older adults, and in particular people 50 plus, going through to even in their 90s and beyond. So we know that's four generations, and we know amongst a high range of different ethnicities, that means many different sorts of differences. But it also means people being influenced by the marketing of processed foods and what the supermarkets deliver and so on. And so there are similarities. Is that not true?
Well, to be honest, the accessibility of food at the moment is really challenging. Not only is people nowadays rely on accessibility of food that is not whole food, and that's one of the challenges at the moment. Coming with, you know, with aging, you know, group, the most important is people are prevented. It's just because they rely on medications and they have been away from whole food.
So people are listening to marketing about supplements, and maybe too that the foods that they are used to from back home are not so easily found here, so they tend to reach for what is easy.
Absolutely. Not only that, and also the different diets that people now introduce, like, you know, you name them, like, you know, fasting, intermittent fasting, it's carnivore diet, you know, it's intermittent fasting, like different kind of diets that people are being, like, what diets do we started. So that's why people become like, should we go with these different diets, or should we go with these marketing that it's been, like, you know, introduced different kinds of, like, you know, supplements that's been introduced. People are nowadays like, what is better for us?
So people are asking the questions, but they are not getting the correct evidence.
That's true. The research, everything is really limited at the moment. There's not enough research about lots of diets that it's been introduced. That's one of the challenging at the moment. And most important, people don't realize that back to basic nutrition is the most important. What we back then 50 years ago, 100 years ago, what people were doing was best. Everything was organic. Why people nowadays just find it really challenging, because lots of food that has been introduced, processed food, high-fat diet, high-salt food, everything is like high-sugar food. It's all been challenging for people nowadays.
And, of course, it's very addictive. So once people are in the cycle of consuming certain products, certain high-fat, high-sugar combos, then it's hard to switch that off. The brain clamours for more.
Absolutely. There's lots of food has been addictive. It's just because dopamine has been released. People found it like, you know, they have been addicted. The high salt, the high sugar food, it's all, once the dopamine has been released, people, like, you know, find it addictive. They've been addicted to that.
Yeah, and don't realise that they're undergoing a chemical transformation from within.
Absolutely, yes. the chemical, everything is part of, like, you know, the what the message that's coming to the brain, people find it challenging, and that's why you just been repeatedly doing that. That's the cycle, receptor cycle. It's just like, you know, you have to go through those triggers, the cravings, everything is part of that as well.
And I guess if we likened it or compared it to being addicted to drugs, people would caution other people if they saw them experimenting with drugs. But when they see them experimenting with fast food, they don't do the cautioning. They don't say, oh, wait a minute, is this really actually going to do you good? They even go as far as presenting this as an option, like this is party food, this is how you celebrate. You put fizzy drink on the table, you get KFC, you get a box of fried chicken. You know, these kinds of things people think are normal and the way to celebrate.
Absolutely convenient. Everything is convenient for people. If you wanted to fill up your car, you go to a petrol station, and what you have to do is just because it's accessible, it's convenient, you get, you know, ice cream, chocolates for your children. And if you go to a supermarket, the first thing you found out, like, you know, lollies, fizzy drinks you have to buy for your kids. So everything is really, like, people nowadays has just been rely on convenient food. If they are home, if they've been having a gathering with their family members, let's get a pizza, let's get, like, you know, takeaways. But it's nowadays, it's like everything, like, people found it, like, it should be easy, accessible. So they're not working really hard. Like, investment on their health is extremely important. Like, health is part of investment.
Yes. And I guess looking at the research, I mean, you were saying that there's not much research, or there's not enough research. I mean, what research we have is often heavily invested in by pharmaceutical companies or by companies producing some of those highly processed foods. So we have to find some of their findings as suspect because they are the funders.
Absolutely. Not only those foods, supplements, a lot of protein shakes, everything that it's been introduced, people are rely on that. And I have seen a lot of practitioners, like, you know, health professionals, they rely on supplements, multiple supplements. It's just because they obviously, life is so busy, they have to work, like, you know, for 8 hours or 9 hours, what they have to do, because they've been prevented from food, they have don't have time for their lunch break or for their food. So what they do, they get supplements. So that's not sufficient. The body does not just rely on supplements. So it's really important to reach out to proper food. So, yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting if you look into it, how the body is constructed. I mean, the chewing of food in the mouth, like, I can think back to people many generations back who had pride in how they chewed their food.
Yeah.
So they would actually chew it 40 times before they swallowed it.
Mm.
I would think the average would be something like 8 or 10 times now in comparison. So the difference of how much is digested in the mouth before it reaches the stomach is different. But also how that food is broken down. If it's not processed food, if it's whole food, then it's going to go through a different process in the gut. And it's also going to change the microbiome, the actual balance of good and bad bacteria.
Yep.
Now, I'm a novice in this. I'm not an expert. But I've done enough research myself to see that what you first consume at the beginning of the meal sets the tone for what's going on in the digestive system. So if you're having whole foods, then you're stimulating the right digestive processes, the ones that are going to be beneficial. And that's sending messages to the brain. So that's going to impact on your mental health.
Yep, that's true. You have raised a very good point coming to the chewing process, the amylases, like, you know, the enzymes that it's really working in the digestive part, is extremely important. And that's why nowadays people are rely on the smoothies and then just like a juice drinks and everything. That's where people found it, like, you know, there is something is missing, and that's part of a digestive, you know, the good microbiome, like good and bad microbiome, that's everything is part of a digestion. Every process that is coming from mouth to coming to from esophagus and going to the gut, it's all giving information to your brain, and this is how it's working. That's how lots of people, why their cravings is just because the chewing process or the digestive process is lacking, and that's why they start cravings. Why most people, like, you know, binge eating, why it's nowadays it's become a trend, is just because people are not using a proper digestive system, not using a proper process, and that's why it's lacking.
Yeah, and I think also with medication, many people are over-medicated. So we're talking about people 50-plus. They're often on statins, anti-cholesterol medication, protein pump inhibitors, and blood thinners. And so that's four main medications a day. Sometimes they would be having those twice a day. And those collectively are having an impact on the gut biome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So eventually they build up. Now, some of these people have been on these medications 15, 20 years, still on the same dose, and often not changed at all, or even fully tested to see what the impacts are.
Yeah, absolutely. Those warfarin that you talk about, those medications, which is blood thinning, lots of medications like, you know, clozapine, which is for the stress, for anxiety, these did affect people's, you know, appetite as well. So what is really important, that's the time I always tell in my consultation to my patients as well, like, you know, my clients actually, that prebiotic is extremely important. Back then, people used to have yogurt, which was a simple probiotic, but nowadays people find it like, you know, oh, yogurt? Why not supplements? So it's the easy way of, if you reach out to food, that's the simple thing, like, you know, if you, that will really help your gut. So, and also probiotic supplements, that's sometimes like, you know, if people are struggling with the yogurt, if they can't, like, you know, if they are dairy, you know, intolerance, so I said, okay, let's go with prebiotics medications, I mean supplements. This is really good. If you're on those medications, one supplements can help you.
And I'm thinking also that we have traditional foods in many societies which play the role of the prebiotics. So not just the natural yogurts, but sauerkraut or kimchi. The Koreans have kimchi. The Germans have sauerkraut. And these are known, and they're quite widespread, so they're further afield than just those two cultures. And so really we need to reach out to confirm the good things that are in existing cultures that will build the probiotic need.
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, those two, you know, probiotics, there's others like kefir, apple cider vinegar. These are all part of probiotic. Like, you know, as I mentioned, it's like if you want to reach out to your food, these are the things that you could just get it, and then you will be like, your gut will be like, basically pray for you. And if you rely on the, like, you know, sometimes, yes, a lot of things that could affect your gut, like a stress. Nowadays, like, you know, there's a lot of migraines. You know, those migrations can affect your stress level. A lot of times, like, you know, there's a lot of crisis, such as like COVID started. People were like, you know, have a boredom, like quarantine. They have done nothing. Like, you know, they were bored. People had, like, you know, a lot of stress. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to their family members? Obviously, those stress can give you a negative energy, and that could affect your gut as well. So those plus everything of that, it doesn't mean that those medications can affect you as well. So that's why it's extremely important at that time that you have to look after yourself. And that's why our generation need awareness, a small information or a small kind of a reaching for you for better food is actually can change your lifestyle.
And I think we also need to turn the clock back in a way of going back to, you know, what are the sort of five pillars of health, if you like, because you need a certain amount of quality sleep every night. So staying up late, burning the candle at both ends, trying to burn the midnight oil and turn out more work isn't actually very good, even in the short term, let alone the long term. So having a really good night's sleep is like gold.
Absolutely.
It's the foundation. The foundation of your digestive system, of your bowel system, of your whole way everything functions. And I was thinking, obviously, your nutrition, your quality food. I think what people sometimes are a bit overwhelmed. They think, oh, I've got to change everything and it's too much. Mm. And what I've suggested to people is that they try making one or two additions. Because slowly as you add positive foods, it will improve your gut biome. Your desire for the negative foods drops away naturally. So as that drops away, you don't have to have a battle with your brain. You know, you just find you're that much more satisfied. You've got a different energy, a calmer energy, but a more lasting energy during the day.
Yeah, and balanced food. Like, as long as you have a balanced food, that's everything. That's the most important. Like, you know, it's like, as I've mentioned, that not preventing yourself, it's more like, you know, reaching after food is extremely important. Because a lot of time people, like, you know, being in a different diet, they have been preventing themselves. They don't want to eat something. Rather than that, it's like, it's all about balanced food. If you have everything from every color in your plate, that's important.
Yes, the balanced food concept, I think, is important. Adding things, I mean, I know I've experimented with like a whole grain porridge and just adding, say, chia seeds and hemp powder or chia seeds and pumpkin seeds or all three. You can up the protein level.
Absolutely.
So you're going from 5 grams with an oat porridge to serving to something like 12 to 15 grams.
Absolutely.
If you're adding reasonable quantity of pumpkin seeds, chia seeds and hemp powder. And it's very flavoursome. And if you want a bit of a sugar ingredient as well, you can go natural with some blueberries. And I find you can take them from the freezer, add them directly to the hot porridge mix, and within 3 minutes you're ready to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. But don't forget your cinnamon. If you added a dash of a cinnamon, that would balance your all blood sugar level, especially when it comes to, because I'm specialized in diabetes and pre-diabetes. That's extremely important for those patients and clients as well. So if you add a dash of cinnamon, that would be like perfect.
I'm sure.
Yes.
I can just imagine how delicious that would be.
Yeah.
And it's somehow great. Many people swear by not having breakfast in the morning and so on, but to balance out the blood sugar levels is very important for stability, because we all know how important it is to prevent falls in older age.
Yeah,
people are suspect of falls, and once they have a nasty fall, it can often be the beginning of going into care. It can be a downhill slope. So preventing falls is a very important thing, and keeping your balance, maintaining a stable blood sugar level helps you stay steady, not get dizzy, have more control over your body, and that's achieved by having balanced food and having at least 3 meals a day. And if you don't have a strong appetite, you can do 4 or 5 small meals. And by doing those small meals, you can maintain that stability.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a very good point as well. So sometimes people find it like, you know, oh, for having a breakfast. It's just like always an option of a wheat bakes or a porridge or, you know, oats. And I said, no, there's a lot of other options. You could have a toast of bread with some eggs. That could be another thing. Or maybe have a salmon, you know, smoked salmon, or you could have some, you know, having a dash of spinach and having with the eggs as well. So there's a lot of options in your breakfast as well. And a lot of people, when they skip their breakfast, that's where they start craving during the nighttime as well. And that's why people say, like, I'm not having anything, but I have gained weight. It's just because people often skip their breakfast. Mm-hmm. And that's where it starts from. And that's why your blood sugar going down. And if you're getting stable blood sugar, that starts from the morning. And most people, what they do, they have either a high sugar of diet in their breakfast, and that's where the sugar level can drop as well.
Mm. This is all really important stuff, and I'm hoping that people hearing this at home are not thinking that we're the food police, but rather realizing that this is about creating happy people. Yes. This is about creating satisfied people, people that go off and create happy environments at work, people that go off and spread happiness. Because when your gut is smooth and tolerating good food and happy, so you are happy in yourself. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, happy gut, happy life. Sometimes when people say you have a happy life, happy wife, I would say happy. Well, if you look after yourself, your gut will be happy and you will be happy as well. Mm. It's all about yourself, how you look after yourself.
Yeah, it's particularly important for people who live highly stressed lives or who have highly changeable environments, high-risk environments, people who are environments where there's high crime, where there's instability of housing, or they have been through a lot of trauma, like war zones or refugee camps or just a lot of disruption in their lives. I mean, I know I went through a period where I had lost about 6 people in as many years, and it wasn't the first time it happened, but it became cumulative, their trauma. So I think that all of these things are types of stress that are difficult to deal with, difficult to process, that it do affect the way we eat and how we process food. And so I know, for example, when I was widowed at 47, it took me about 18 months to be able to eat breakfast normally afterwards, because, you know, it was very difficult to eat more than one meal a day in mouthfuls, about one mouthful an hour, and that was where I started. So from that experience, I can talk honestly, knowing just how difficult these things can be.
Absolutely. The stress can affect a lot of time to our gut as well, and that's why it gives a negative energy to our brain. And most people, for long term, if you have those, you know, the negative energy or the stress level you have, it gets you to irritable bowel syndrome, and that's one of the, you know, diagnoses that people do get it. And I have a lot of clients that those traumas, stress affect them. And again, it just need a change of diet. It just need that you need to eat right amount of food, and that's how your gut will be back to normal. And as you have mentioned, the stress level, it's all about behavior support as well. If you give a change someone's lifestyle, to give a good strategy of, you know, their lifestyle and how they can change their mood. And not only sometimes nutrition can help, there's a lot of other lifestyles can be active. You know, being active is extremely important, looking after yourself, going for a small walk if your lifestyle is really not, you know, if you can't go to the gym, a small walk could really affect your mood as well. And, like, you know, maybe if having a good friend to talk with, someone that could also change your lifestyle as well.
Yes, indeed. So if we're adding to our list sleep, good nutrition, 3 regular meals in the day at least, and nurturing ourselves by having some quality social time, reaching out to people. This is important because social isolation actually often breeds a stagnation of appetite, a loosening of interest in food. And it's easier to eat when you're eating with other people. It's much more fun and enjoyable. And so it's just a matter of finding people who are interested in good nutrition and good food. So you're eating with people who are like-minded, and that can reinforce your choices.
Absolutely. Having a good friend is extremely important. If obviously surrounding with good people where you enjoy as well, so that's extremely important as well. And being mindful. Sometimes it's all about being mindful. Like, you know, eating mindfully is extremely important as well.
Mindfulness is a great thing because it's like mentally stepping back two steps and thinking, now, if I was really looking after myself, what would I be doing here? What would be the best investment for me right now?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a
really important question. It's a question, if you asked yourself that before each meal, even if you changed one item on the schedule, I think if you made that a habit, reinforced that over a period. They say your cells in your body change every 28 days. You've replaced virtually every cell in your body. So if you were to keep this up every day for a month, you would start to be and act and feel like a different person.
Absolutely. Commitment is extremely important, and discipline in your lifestyle is extremely important. As you mentioned, self-focus is something like, you know, you could do. You could just say, okay, I'm going to change it from today. Not from tomorrow, from today. So if you start from today, a baby step could be really good rather than just pressurize yourself where you could just like, you can't change, you can't like, you know, run or maybe kick yourself like, you know, from 1 to 100. It's just a baby step. Like, you know, you need to bring a small changes in your lifestyle. That would be amazing.
Step by step, starting small, starting from today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dunya, for your advice and your support and your contribution to the program today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
If you enjoyed this, do tune in, because we're going to have Dunya back in probably 6 to 8 weeks, and we're going to hear from her again. And we've set up an arrangement today, which we hope this will continue well into the future. So thank you once again for coming, and we wish you well, all our listeners, for the next week.
Thank you.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
104.6 Planet FM.
Senior Focus is a reflective radio program designed for those 50 plus, where you can listen to a wealth of knowledge and expertise and insights coming from within our senior community. Our range of topics and guests stretching from the personal to the professional, from advocates to inventors and heritage buffs, will offer unique perspectives. Our Senior Focus program is on at 5:25 p.m. on Sundays. Or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus.
Need a break? Join Mariska and Kara for Two Sugars. Conversations over coffee, Wednesday afternoons at 3:55 on 104.6 Planet FM. Or listen anytime, planetaudio.org.nz/twosugars.
I love Auckland.
I love Auckland.
I love Auckland.
I do like Auckland.
I love Auckland.
I love Auckland.
Good weather, good people, and I like it.
Loving Auckland.
our diversity. planetaudio.org.nz.
And I thank my lucky star.
Senior Focus returns next Sunday at the same time of 5:25 p.m. Call Planet FM 104.6 tēnei. Te reo hapori o Tamaki Makaurau.